Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SLB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder, join us with a talk cast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just call the follow the direction of the call, it's 17702. Or you can participate on the web, just go to the talk's website at www.talkshoe.com. And search for Callie 17702 or search for SFU on call or Starfleet Universe on call, and you should find us there. But of course, if you want the best internet experience, you want to go to twitch.tv. Yep, that's twitch.tv/SFU on call. That's where you will find us. That you will find me and my lovely face broadcasting every Thursday night. Almost every. And you'll be able to join our wonderful chat room there and be able to talk about whatever I'm talking about, or possibly something totally unrelated. You never know. But if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. And if you want to, you can also follow me on Twitter while it still exists. My accounts there are sfuoncall. For the podcast, get Paul Franz, P-A-U-L-F-R-A-N-Z for my personal account. And of course, you've got the Franz Games account for my business account, which is for following me about those things that are happening at Franz Games. You know, SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. And of course, the lovely TalkCast gets turned to podcasts available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. When it comes to the news for this week from ADB, it's been pretty quiet. Maybe too quiet, but we will see. Just a reminder, though, that ADB does have all kinds of free stuff for you to grab on StarfleetGames.com. They have things from things like First Missions, which is basically it's a primer to Federation Commander. You know, it will help you to learn the basic rules. Help you to know if you actually might like playing Federation Commander. I think you will, because it's relatively simple. A lot less rules than Starfleet Battles, but as I explained many times before, Starfleet Battles can actually be boiled down to basically two pages. I think, now, it's if you're not going through all the rules for when it comes to all the different weapon systems and so forth. But moving on. And, of course, they have different playtest cards for Starfleet Battle Force. They also have, like, desktop images that you can put on your desktop, which are really cool. They got some, including one which I had used in the past, which was of an Andromedan ship, which was quite cool. I enjoyed that one. Haven't set that one up yet. Haven't really played around with desktop images since I moved to my new computer over a year ago, maybe longer. I don't remember at this point. But anyhow, also, when it comes to moving on to the SLB Online tournaments, we've got the Sapphire Star 13 opening up very, very soon. I meant to do this last weekend, but I got sidetracked by other things. I will definitely endeavor to get it done this weekend. Moving on to the online client stuff, not actually much happening there. It's been kind of a quiet week overall. Been busy with other things because of I have things like, I'm part of Knights. I have I'm also the membership directory for our local archery club. Things like that, you know, which keep me a little busy with other things also. When it comes down to the library, when it comes to SFB and the FedCom libraries, there have been no progress there. They've been stayed the same from last week. So with that is the news for this week. And it's Massive Only All Puffins welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, well, we've got quite a few people with us this evening, starting with Doug. How you doing, Doug?
Hey, good evening. How y'all doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing fine. And of course, Gary. How you doing, Gary?
So-so. How are things?
Good. Wasn't sure you had a voice tonight because you didn't say anything.
Are you excited about this Sunday?
What's that? I'm sorry.
Are you excited about this Sunday?
Sad about the Sunday? With, you mean with the Super Bowl, or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, in some parts of the world, they may be excited about the ads that they show at the Super Bowl. But at least you'll have a Pennsylvania team to cheer for.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Got the Eagles. That's the local team, actually, around here, around this part. So, if you walk down the street, my neighbor, he's a Steelers fan. So I'm not sure who he's going to be rooting for. It could be the Eagles, probably. But you know, that's I'm not that much of a American football person, you know. So especially given how later and later that baseball has been going, you know, these days it goes all the way into November, you know. So. It's like, okay, football, when do I have a chance to watch football? So, that's American football, not soccer. As is, I'm planning on getting the Apple TV MLS package to get, you know, good for the whole year and watch, you know, soccer / you know, European football. So, that should be interesting.
So doesn't the is the World Baseball Classic on this year, or is that a different
Yes, game? Yes, that's this year. Actually, that was one thing I was just noticing tonight, which was they just announced the rosters for the World Baseball Classic. So I need to check that out myself.
Yeah, it's a shame that they don't treat it the way they treat the World Cup, where they have all the teams in the same country, because, like, unless they get to the final, you never really get to see teams like Japan or South Korea on this side of the Pacific in the early stage of the competition. Or right. Vice versa, like you wouldn't see the U.S. or Canadian teams, whatever, like flying to Japan or to wherever like that.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, you know, because MLB want the final rounds to be, because they're the ones running the World Baseball Classic, so I guess they want the knockout rounds to be like on home soil, so to speak.
No, I understood. But definitely one thing with the World Baseball Classic, the one thing is that if you'll notice, a lot of the Major League Baseball players, MLB players, they're actually playing like for other countries. So they're playing for like Japan or Puerto Rico or I'm thinking about some of the other ones. I forget if any of them are playing for Australia. Because I can see that because there are some Australian baseball players. That are in the major leagues. So now, obviously, the major leagues teams aren't always that happy, but at the same time, the reason you had the World Baseball Classic, one of those reasons for it is also to promote baseball as a sport. So, you know, we got to have good baseball players in the World Baseball Classic to encourage people to watch it and then be interested in baseball. This year actually is going to be interesting when it comes to the major leagues in that the additional rules that they put in place for the major leagues. Things like pitch timer. So you have to throw the ball at a certain rate. I think it's 30 or 35 seconds. I forget which. But you know, none of this, you know, basically 2 minutes per ball that the pitcher throws. And that actually improved things greatly on the minor leagues to decrease like some of the games down to like 2.5 hours for a 9-inning game, which is cool. You know, that's people to watch the whole game and not have to leave in the middle of the game, you know, because of, okay, that the kids have to go to bed or something like that, you know. Well, moving forward.
The winner of the event, they'll play the World Cricket Champion.
That would be interesting. Totally different set of rules. Of course, I heard, who was it that actually had played Australian football, which is, I heard, that's nuts. That's completely nuts. That's rougher than rugby, you know. Oy. But anyhow,
well, there actually is a hybrid rule set that's half Gaelic football, half Australian rules. And the purpose of it is solely to allow Irish and Australian players to represent their country when they play against each other. But speaking of two different game systems that throw up interesting results when they interact, how about Starfleet Battles and Federation and Empire, Federation Commander, rather?
Starfleet Battles and what? Sorry. Oh, Federation Empire? Okay.
Well, sorry, Federation Commander.
Oh, Federation Commander, yes, yes,
I
definitely.
Wanted to,
That's the topic I wanted to hit on tonight. And before we do that, I want one more person to actually join us on this happy band. Hey, Jeff.
Good evening.
How are you doing this lovely night?
You guys got started a little faster than usual.
Tiny bit. I'm like 2 minutes earlier than I usually do it. 9:33 instead of 9:35. Give me a break.
All right, which leg?
Well, well, anyway, to actually get to the actual topic instead of talking about sports, because Lord knows, actually, if you want to talk about esports, because dang, man, you know, that's one thing that's decreased overall is esports themselves. You know, a lot of the money is going away because they figured out that they it's ahead of its time. You know, it's one of those things that, yeah, a lot of people will actually come and watch the teams play in person. But, you know, sometimes if really good players, they're not all that exciting to watch because they're focused on what they're doing. And it's so time dependent and all this kind of things for some of these games that, you know, they're focused on getting that right and so forth. It's not an easy thing to narrate, you know, and have the story. Because that's one of the things when it comes about baseball itself is the story. That's you know, the story, the players are the story, or the team is the story. You know, everyone loves the comeback story, or the one last chance kind of story where, you know, yeah, this great ball player, he's come on hard times, and then he comes back to be back to his greatness that he once was. You know, that kind of story. That's the kind of things that they love in baseball. But again, relating that to the SFB and FedCom, that's one of those things that's always wonderful about. If you ever been to Origins in the past, way past, because this is before ADB stopped going, and before we stopped having the gold hat there, and that is that every year, you know, you everyone would come early, you know, we come like the day before, and then we'd hang out, and what did we do? We told stories about either, you know, past years just getting together. Oh, remember when you did this or did that? And it might not be related to the game. Might be related to the game. But inevitably, there would be stories about this game or that game. About, you know, I was down and, you know, down or ahead. I came into for the final blow and I blew it and rolled all sixes. You know, that kind of thing, which is everyone likes a story. And that's part of any good game, is that narrative, that story. That's the one thing that I would really enjoy being able to have. And that's always a difficult thing, which is for Starfleet Warlord. Starfleet Warlord is a great game. And in that game, you're playing this corporation to, you know, defeat the other corporations, to try to take as much territory as you can, take as much many sites, you know, earn as much money as possible, you know, using your ships and defeating the other corporations and part of the way defeating corporations likes to take out their home office, i.e., you know, where they start the whole game. Now, the tough part is getting people, you know, getting the players to actually take their game and then wrap it in a narrative, wrap it in a story. You know, the whole idea of being, you know, you're the head of your corporation, and this is what you're going to be doing, and then we're be cutthroat against him, and so, oh, we made this deal, but you know, it all deals are temporary, until they're good until I say they're not. that kind of thing, you know. And it's a rare thing that you actually get a Starfleet Warlord player to actually write it up, because I think that would be actually a fantastic kind of thing, is if somebody would write up a narrative, especially do something like what they do with Starfleet battles, you know, in tournament games. Because one of the things that you do in tournament games is that the good players, the real good players, will record what they do, what their opponent does. And then what's one of the things that normally happens as part of winning the gold hat, or in this case, I think it's Sapphire Star tournament these days, which is you write a story, a narrative about, okay, each game, you know, not necessarily, you know, purely from a fictional kind of thing, but a narrative of how you won the game, the tactics involved, and things like that. You know, it's more gamey and geeky, but, you know, which is awesome, you know, which is fine by itself. But, you know, and it's hard to do that, you know, if you write a fictional story wrapped in this tournament play. Obviously, you can do that, you know, saying that these are the masters and they want to see the best captain win and all that kind of thing. So, sorry, I just made me think about the story of the Masters. I forget which Captain's Log it was at this moment in time. And the one part in the story where was flying, I think, a Klingon. Yeah, I think a Klingon ship. And the Klingon ship actually had a cloaking device. And after he acted the way the cloaking device, his basic command chair blew up. You know, which was interesting. You know, it's like, why you give him a cloaking device if you don't want him to actually be able to use it? So, weird. But, you know, it gave me a giggle because the Death of K had, if I recall correctly, as part of the story, that his first command was this woman, and, you know, this woman was waking him up trying, you know, because of basically he got blown out of the captain's chair. And he thought, oh, what is she doing? You know, are we kind of, you know, it was D7, yeah. Thanks, Chris. I thought it was a Klingon ship. You know, we have a romantic interlude basically right here on the bridge, you know, something. Something goofy like that. But anyway, to get to the actual topic for this evening. Yeah. Thank you, Chris. That was episode number 3. Wow. Boy, that's been a while. Because when did episode... Well... Curious, if you happen to know it, when did Captain's Log number 3 actually come out? Because the funny part is I don't remember if I read Captain's Log number 3 when it came out, or I bought it later, many years later, after, you know, after the Captain's Logs, you know, were being produced, and I was just kind of buying back issues of the Captain's Logs at that point. Because I remember buying the actual, you know, one of the first, the regular, you know, Caps Log number 1, you know, But I'm pretty sure when I bought Cabin Fever number one, it wasn't, when it first came out. It was many, many years later. Okay. I was hoping that there'd be a copyright. Usually in the front of books, there's a copyright date, is what they have. I'm surprised. Anywho, getting back to the actual topic. The topic for this evening that I want to discuss because of I think it's a good idea. And I want to do certain things with that. Obviously, much to the chagrin of some of the people who follow me on YouTube. I don't plan on doing this on SFU On Call. I plan on doing that as part of my normal YouTube channel, mainly for my business where I do most of my SFB stuff. And I might create a list, a public list from here, which goes to there, or something along those lines, or reference that list or something like that lines. I'll probably have to create the list over there. But well, here's my idea, and since I have Doug here, I figured he's a videographer to a certain degree, though he's more of a filmmaker than just quick short videos. And that is, I was looking at actually YouTube Shorts because I figured the best way to teach people is in short increments. Show them little things at a time. And at the very least, help them to learn that one thing. And then, and maybe with a longer video, or maybe it's a list of short videos to, make it into a list, okay, here's how you learn and show you a little bit at a time, and maybe a longer one which ties them all together.
Yes.
Yeah, Doug. Okay.
Just a second.
Okay.
Yes, actually. I would say take a look at a bunch of Let's Plays for some other board games and see kind of what works and what doesn't. And turn around and say, this is, the purpose of this is teaching you the differences between SFB and FedCom, or bringing FedCom in as a sort of brand new player, or like you were saying, breaking it up into different bits. What I would suggest is kind of planning the whole thing out, and it's something we could probably do in a nice sit-down session. Just kind of storyboard the whole thing. How do you want it to go? What do you want to emphasize? How do you make it interesting for somebody that's not a board game geek, so to speak?
I understand.
Yeah, that would be my take on that. If you wanted to sit down outside of the
Yeah,
podcast
of
and,
course.
go over the entire planning process for something like that.
Understood. Yeah, one of my ideas.
I would,
One thing, I'm sorry to
I'd
jump in there.
hesitate to add.
Go, Jeff.
Go ahead, Gary.
So I was just
Okay,
going to
one
say,
thing I.
I think it goes entirely.
Go, Gary.
So, yeah, so I was going to say that I think a good comparison is with, because I believe there are people who do various gameplay videos for both Classic BattleTech and also for Alpha Strike. And so, of course, the two games play very differently, but it's the same universe. But I guess the target audience will be a little bit different. So, for example, the Alpha Strike stuff would lean more towards the miniature side of play because Alpha Strike is designed to be a miniatures game, kind of like the way Cult of Arms is for Starfleet Universe. Whereas, on the other hand, Classic BattleTech, yes, you can play it with miniatures if you want, but you can also play it with like other things. So you don't basically, it's not quite as miniature dependent. So to look at it from a Starfleet Universe perspective, you could basically, because I mean, people do play FedCom with counters as well, but they maybe the audience for that game might be, maybe there might be more people tuning in who might lean more towards the Shapeways side of things. So They might want to, see what it's like to have the actual miniatures moving around the board rather than using the counters. And of course, as I was saying before, if you recall, I was talking about how in a previous episode, I mentioned that if you get the 7,000 scale miniatures, which are relatively inexpensive, and they have the hex stand already, so I guess they're designed to fit onto a hex, like a map or whatever, you can also get the 2-centimeter adapting sets so that they can be used for a call to arms. So if you wanted to basically also have a segment that said, here's a call to arms Starfleet, here's a way to play it, you can use those same miniatures and just put them into the stand, into the adapters, and then take them back out of the adapter if you want to do a video for one of the hexagon-based games. So you've got a bit of flexibility there in terms of the means by which you're presenting the different styles of play to the person watching the video.
Understood. Now, the one idea I had, which was, okay, a little, maybe, I'm not sure if this would work, but I would love to try it, which was use like YouTube Shorts, these short 60-second videos to show bits and pieces of how to play, Federation Commander and Starfleet Battles, especially given that both of them have a lot of similarities when it comes to things like, turn mode, things like counting up how much energy that you have available on your ship, the whole idea of movement cost. Now, obviously, movement cost, how much it costs to actually move your ship to a certain speed, it's automatically calculated for you by the actual ship card itself. You have 24, you have 16, you have 8, and you have 0. And then, of course, you can go in reverse, but if you go in reverse, everything's twice as much, which is interesting by itself. But, so for things that could be that are the same, you could actually have one video for teaching both. And that's the short videos, just little snippets of information. Instead of trying to say, okay, here's an hour-long video on how to play Starfleet Battles, an hour-long video how to play Federation Commander. Break it down into smaller pieces, and have them available on, I was thinking about YouTube Shorts, and then have a longer one, which basically shows them all integrated together. And how that would work at the very least, from moving around, maybe not necessarily, tactics and the actual rules when it comes to the impulse segments and how those work, and step one, because the whole idea usually when you're teaching people how to play a game, or at least Starfleet Battles of Federation Commander, you don't teach them all the rules at once. Now, if we go back to the guy I was teaching at Gamers of Winter, when it comes to that guy was special in that it was a person who had already read up and actually, it was shocking to me that he remembered the rules for Starfleet Battles. So, a lot of the things that you would normally have to teach, he already knew. things like turn mode, things like movement costs, things like firing arcs. Heck, he remembered how the firing arcs worked, which was incredible. You know, certain things are different from Starfleet Battlestation Federation Commander, you know, i.e. impulse activities. You know, you have you can move up to possibly four times before you actually have the ability to do any action whatsoever. You know, it's for a person who's used to playing Starfleet battles, where you have you can have an activity after each movement, or even after each non-movement, when you have the possibility of movement. That's so you have a lot more possible activities than movement. So you can do a lot more, in a single turn than you normally can do in Federation Commander, at least when it comes to individual opportunities for actions and the positions of those ships when those action takes place. And that's one of the reasons why, if you've ever played Federation Commander, they have things like, the ability to cancel movement. Now, the cancel movement costs you power, so you have to. So you only can do that so much. Lord knows that's what happened to me, a Game of the Winter, when I was teaching this guy how to play Federation Commander. And that was that I ran into a situation where I was all set, this is going to be great. Then I realized I have 2 points of power. So I can't cancel movement if I want to fire or do much. Because since I was playing Federation at the time, the photons were already charged. They're already ready because of one of those crazy things, which is in Federation Commander, if you have a multi-turn army weapon, you don't need power for the rest of the turn, in theory. You know, obviously, that means your other weapons, like phasers, or if you want to upgrade a standard loaded weapon up to a overloaded weapon, you can't do that if you don't have power. But you can still fire the weapons, even if you can't take full advantage of the situation which you find yourself in. So, that's why, I was thinking of, doing YouTube shorts to show the individual pieces. Should have a longer video, not a complete video, which shows here's everything from beginning to start of how to play Starfleet Battles or Federation Commander. That possibility would be there. Now, obviously, one thing that Gary points out, and I think greatly so, which is that if you want to get people's eyeballs, you got to do exactly what I did for the demos, which is you need to use miniatures. You need to have that visual aspect to the video to catch people's eyes. Without resorting to what sells, which is SEX, which is, I'm not exactly sure how you could do that with Starfleet Battles, but I'm sure there's somebody who's figured it out.
No, not really.
Yeah.
You could wear a Gorn costume with a thong, I guess, if you wanted to use sex to sell it or not. No,
that'd be scary.
I see where you're coming from on a lot of this, but I think what you want is two different things. One of them can be extracted from the other. For instance, having small snippets where you explain all the subtle details of something, then as opposed to like the, you know, hour-long thing of here's how you do a let's play for the game. I think what you could do is you could do a let's play for the game with bookmarks within it that go out to further explanation of the things that you're talking about.
Oh,
and that way you could have a little library of here's where each of the things are in short explanations, and people can go look at those different things. From the comments, he's talking about teaching the board game using video tutorial type setup. So, and he's actually, it's talking about, not so much SFB as FedCom, I think.
Well, actually,
is that right, Paul?
Well, both of them, it can do both. You know, especially considering a lot of the mechanics are in common. That was the whole idea, is the mechanic, when it comes to the mechanics, for the most part, SFB and FedCom share quite a few. Obviously, there's certain mechanics of Federation Commander which don't actually exist in SFB, like, you know, canceling movement, the whole idea of paying for a point of acceleration, so you can, for a, well, in SFB terms, would be a four impulse acceleration. You can do that. You know, for.
Here's the thing for the planning process. I think one of the issues is like is preaching to the choir and talking to new people.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think what you might want to do is say, lay it out so you do multiple different videos where one is, here's the differences for players coming from SFB to FedCom.
Mm-hmm.
So here's how it's all different. Here's the major changes. This is how we play the game. Different way of talking to people. And then you have a separate setup where you come in and say, okay, you've never played SFB or FedCom. Here's how you play SFB as a whole series thing. Here's how you play FedCom as its own individual thing. Don't get them mixed up. So, and like I said, this could take some planning.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, because one of the issues is, and it's something that I think could turn people off watching a video, is if you're going at it with too much, I know all this, versus explaining it as if the person doesn't know anything about
right.
it.
Right, which is
kind of thing. Like, well, we're talking about it and we know all the jargon and the shortcuts. Somebody coming in cold has no clue.
Mm-hmm. Understood. That's one of the reasons why I was thinking of.
And the other thing is talking about, like, what can bring the eyes in. I think it may be a totally different ball game, so to speak, from the in-person convention experience where sitting in the breezeway with a table full of miniatures catches the eye and people come in and look at that, or having the large group just where you walk into the hall and people see people playing the game and they get interested because they see the people playing the game. I think in a video format, probably take a lot of thought into what will be visually appealing to make somebody want to watch the video, as well as the explanation of here's how we do this, that, and the other within it. And I think that just off the top of my head, it's a gut instinct thing. It's probably going to be, you might want to have a combination of, say, showing how it can be played with miniatures, how it can be played with the cardboard counters and so on. But the real heart of the game is your SSDs, you know, and what's happening to those and how they play out in the game. So the difficulty with this particular game setup is that it's not just a static board where there are some counters and you can follow the counters or miniatures around, But aside from the board, the core of it is here's how you track what is on the units and how they're happening. So on a visual aspect of it, I think there's a kind of a disconnect if you go with just, say, one particular focus in that. And it's, yeah, this kind of a, you could potentially also get into having some animation in it to make it interesting. Like, you know, if you're, you know, have a little hex, or not, if you have your hex set up or your miniatures, you can have little animated arrows to say, I'm, you know, you want to go this way to go and get on this position on an opponent for that tactical reason. This is how you do it, you know, and so on, stuff like that. It, that's just my thought on it.
Okay, but
The whole idea of like you having the SSD or SIP card showing up. That's one reason why I wanted to mention. I was mentioning Classic Battle Deck because each battle mech or unit, whatever, has its record sheet. And so when people are basically watching a video about that, then part of the explanation as to what you're doing would basically involve showing how people are basically working through their record sheets, or in the case of Appelsberg, their unit cards. So they're basically, there should be a, you know, a precedence in terms of like how these ideas are being conveyed through the video screen. And also, one other thing I wanted to mention is, when it comes to SFB, at least, it seems that the idea of doing multiple videos one at a time, I think the cadet rules pretty much like have that kind of factored in. So you could do episode one, welcome to the cadet rules, whatever like that, and basically say, okay, here's what it is, and then that's also where you could basically, if you have, like, say, the Shapeways miniatures, like, here's the Constitution class, here's the Klingon, here's the Romulan, and so on. And then the first video, the next video can be, here's, maybe you could even hit off a couple, knock out a couple of the cadet scenarios at a time. Like, if they're quick enough, you could basically do two or three in a single video, and then if there's one that's more complicated, like, say, for example, teaching how to use a cloaking device or something like that, whatever, then you can get to that. And then once you get to the end of the cadet scenario, you can then say, okay, here's season two of the videos, and this is basically using the full Captain's Edition SSDs, and here's what you were missing. Since you've already built up the knowledge base from watching the previous bunch of videos to get you to this point that covered the cadet version, here's what you're stepping up to with the Captain's version. But again, like, you're not necessarily throwing the master rulebook at them all in one go. Like, you can basically say, take it one step at a time and so forth. So, but and it's something similar with Fed Commander. You could basically start with the first missions PDF and then say, okay, here's the very basic slimmed down version. And then once people basically get comfortable with that, then they can basically move on to the Klingon border and then introduce things like the damage allocation chart and like some of the different kind of extra features and so forth that you get in that. So you're basically kind of like easing people in, almost like the way basically the Fedcom boxed products were designed to do, in the sense that Klingon border came out first and then Romulan border came out, and then further expansions in respect to the Lyrans of the ISC and elements and so on. So that could basically help provide a certain structure to how you're doing it. And then if you wanted to have a video that basically shows some of the comparisons, maybe you could do little, like one of the snippets you could do maybe is show one half of a video where you're basically rolling the SFB, the damage allocation chart, and then the other half of the video is you're rolling the FedCom DAC, and you're basically helping to demonstrate how the two systems are different from one another in a way that's like relatively straightforward. If that makes sense.
Understood. Um, The question, okay, here comes the ultimate question. Okay, no matter what the length of the video is, because what can be done to catch someone's eye? Obviously, when it comes to YouTube, the first thing is you have to have a good thumbnail. Just have them click on the video. That would be helpful, obviously, and the possible decent description, something that's interesting that obviously has to be truthful about what they're actually going to see. But what, you know, I have to look at the numbers, but my understanding is that if you don't get someone's attention in the first 5 to 10 seconds, they're going to move on to the next video. So what can be done at least at the beginning of the videos to do that, to catch someone's eye? Because remember, remember one thing. We're talking about a board game here. We're not talking about flashy, shiny, you know, 3D, you know, shoot 'em up games. You know, nothing like, you know, World of Warcraft or Eve Online or Call of Duty, anything like that, which easily catches your eye. What do we do when it comes to Federation Commander or Starfleet Battles?
Well, I think the issue is that it is such a niche thing.
Oh, agreed there. Yeah, agreed. Tactical thing, board games is definitely a niche thing.
The thing is that what draws people into it in the first place is, I think, or at the top of my head, is going to be the original artwork that you have on the SFB and FedCom boxes, where it shows the Starfleet universe stuff that is part of the old series Star Trek stuff. And, you know, very likely, I think, what you might have for eye candy purposes to grab interest is maybe images of those miniatures on a table, but close up, and maybe some of that box art. You know, where you have that on one side and you on the other talking and saying, yeah, this is a game about tactical Starfleet combat or tactical starship combat set in this universe. But as far as the actual play goes, that's a totally different animal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of the whole why it's such a niche game. You really have to take a severe interest in getting into the board game part of it itself. Because like you said, it's not a first-person shooter or, you know, a big, humongous eye-candy-like game like WoW or something like that. So I think that's kind of I don't think it's as much of a hurdle as you might be thinking that it is. Because, you know, when you have people who are interested in tactical board games and stuff like that, they're going to want to get to the meat of the topic, which is the actual, how does the game work? What are the components of it? How do they all interact? So I think what's really going to cut it is probably just maybe a succinct explanation of, this is what is in this video. This is what we're going to be talking about, with some of that imagery on the side, and then you fade into the actual topic. So there you go.
Well, I
don't think there is really a big eye candy requirement for the topic itself.
The other thing to bear in mind is that it's one thing trying to get people into like a video game that's designed for maybe online multiplayer, things like League of Legends or Valorant or something like that. It's a very different thing if somebody's playing a video game like Civilization VI, or if they're playing a game like Total War Three Kingdoms. So they're already playing a game that is going to take a significant amount of time for the video to go over what they're doing it. But the person who's clicking on the video to play it is probably more likely to actually want to sit and go through that video, as Doug is saying, to kind of like take the time to, you know, see what, you know, what's going on, like get a bit more of the details and so forth. I mean, like, it's, you can't really get a good sense of how Civilization VI plays out of like a relatively short video. I mean, yes, there are like welcome to it, but in terms of actually let's plays and so forth, whatever, they take quite some time, and they're supposed to, because, but again, like, the audience who are buying these games, that's what they want. So whether they like it or not, but so yeah, I don't think it's, I mean, I don't think it's going to be too terrible. I mean, I think that you know, like, I don't have the analytics to prove it or anything, but I wouldn't be surprised if for similar games like Metal Tech and so forth that have, you know, an ecosystem on YouTube of people who are basically creating content for it, maybe they're finding that their numbers in terms of the fall off, the drop off from people clicking the video and then stop watching it, the breakdown's probably different than what you're picturing with some of these kind of more first person-y or other kind of like non-strategy related games and stuff. So I don't know if it's, again, I wouldn't panic, basically. I guess I would agree with I would agree with the not panicking part.
And here's just to add on to that, do a topic search. See if there's people covering the topic already. And what do they do that makes it interesting? You don't have to copy them, but, you know, you can see if there's huge interest in that. And maybe also, you know, crib some notes off of them on what did you like about how they do their setup for it. That's why I was saying, you know, if you look at a bunch of other videos, that could give you a really good idea of where you want to go with it. And it doesn't have to be Starfleet Battles. It could be anything. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, just a basic board game setup. But since, you know, we live in this age where you can do it, you might as well go ahead and pop in the keyword Starfleet Battles video on YouTube, see what's out there already.
Yeah. Some of those will be my own. And there's probably some of those will be Les LeBlanc. I've seen his.
And here's a random thought. I'm going to give a shout out to a semi-local group that's like two counties away from where I live, the Little Wars TV guys. Take a look at how they do their presentations and how they do their explanations of rules, and, you know, and they do videos that are almost let's plays, some let's plays, and some that are straight up rules reviews. So they have a wide variety of presentation styles in their channel. That would be a good one to look at.
What's the channel again?
Little Wars TV.
Okay.
They're based out of York, Pennsylvania, and they're more of a miniatures based, but they cover everything from, you know, ancients to Napoleonics to modern to Star Wars minis, all sorts of stuff. And they have a ton of videos in there. So, but they're just like one in a, you know, drop in an ocean of people that cover topics and are, you know, kind of instructional in that. So that's just a thought. The other thing is just, you know, look, go straight up Starfleet Battles game, you know, let's play and see what pops up.
Yeah, because I've seen some game reviews on Starfleet battles itself, where they go through, this is what it is, and this is what the box looks like, unboxing that whole thing. I forget who did that.
But that's not what you're trying to do.
Yeah, agreed.
You're not trying to do a review game. You're trying to do a let's play and a thing that brings an interest.
Right.
So.
Well, I mean, if anyone's
buying, I was also saying that maybe we could start it, so. Like an afternoon and work on that.
Yeah, what was that, Gary?
Like, I mean, anyone who's buying the box set, they're going to be on unboxing it before they start reading the rules. So, I mean, there's like if you have, say, for example, FC Klingon Border or something like that, you can basically have the very first start of the video be, yes, this is the box set. You open it up. Here's what your zip cards look like. Remember that because we're going to be referring to these a lot. Here's the maps and so forth. We're going to put them on the table. So that with the counters or miniatures, whichever way you want to go, we're going to be using this. And so you're basically anchoring the tools that you're teaching with to the product that they're purchasing in the first place. So, but I think that sort of thing works better with FedCom because the ship cards, the laminated cards, maybe they're designed to be a bit flashier, a bit showier. And also if you get the dry erase markers and stuff, you can basically demonstrate how people can use them over and over. So. Because with the SSDs, I guess they're really kind of like, unless you have like a, in theory you can use them multiple to be over, but I think they're just meant to be printed like multiple times, I mean. But anyway, yeah, so basically the style of the video that you're doing might vary and so forth. But, I mean, I don't think it's necessary to, entirely divorce the actual product that is being played in terms of the actual physicality of it from the actual part where they're putting the rules, like rolling the dice and moving stuff around the tabletop. So,
okay. Yeah, there's a couple videos there.
Yeah.
One's an animation. The other one is an unboxing and play. So, explanation.
Okay. I got them copied. Because as soon...
It occurs to me, though, that there's never really... I mean, Mongoose tried to do fleet boxes back in the day for Call to Arms, but there was never really, like, an introductory product for that game system. The same way there is for other FC or SFB. So, but I mean, if you're not planning on doing Call to Arms anytime soon, then you're not missing out too much just yet. But here's one other thought as well. There's probably going to be like a section where you'll basically explain, maybe a quick overview as to like, who are the empires that you have, as in like. Because a lot of people will be coming into it, they might be thinking, where's the Dominion or where's the Borg? And you have to say to them, well, they're not here because they're not in the license. So you might need to basically do like an overview video basically saying, this is the Starfleet universe. It's based off the technical manual. There's a whole bunch of original empires. You might have seen some of them in the Starfleet Command video games. And maybe you could even do like one mini video could be like, here's the TV empires that we've got. And then another one can be, here's a quick introduction to some of ADB's original empires, like the Glirans or Hydrans, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe put a Paravian miniature in there as well, because they look pretty cool. But, basically just kind of like help, kind of like, I guess, the same sort of thing. Like I keep going back to Battletech, but, it's... if you're teaching basically somebody how to play, like you set up, like it's even something as elemental as like how many mechs are you putting on the tabletop? Well, if you're the clans, you're using the stars, so you're putting 5 mechs at a time. But if you're the inner sphere, you're putting lances, so you're putting 4 mechs at a time. And if you're, so basically you're kind of like, and also in terms of like what quality of mechs you're using, because, when the clans first showed up, they had more powerful mechs than the atmosphere did. So that's kind of like the balance that you find in the Alpha Strike box set. So now, Alpha Octant SFB tends to be a bit more kind of balanced in the same time period. So you wouldn't necessarily be saying to someone, you have to take 3d6s to match 2 Federation CAs or whatever. But you'd still be kind of like providing a certain amount of context and stuff before you even get to the point that you're rolling all that, you're rolling the back, or you're knocking down shields, or you're doing that sort of thing. So basically helping to provide the general context for the universe itself before you're getting stuck into actually playing it.
Mm-hmm. Understood. I think that's a good idea to have, you know, a video. What is Starfleet Battles? What is Federation Commander? That kind of thing. Short little video just talking about what is it to begin with and what is it not? That kind of thing. But
I would just caution against being too what is it not, because I mean a lot of people who are coming in from franchise Trek, they might kind of be disappointed if they can't have, you know, all these different species that didn't exist when the SFB was created.
Mm-hmm.
and also they can only have certain time periods of ship or whatever. But coming from me, it's pretty obvious because, you know, yeah, I wouldn't start talking about Omega right away. But
of course not.
Just like within the Alpha Octant and so forth, just kind of like basically highlighting the fact that you're telling people, you know, one of the great things about the Starfleet universe are all these new things you can have. And like basically you're kind of like you're highlighting the fact that if people want to try something new, now they don't necessarily, because I mean, some people, even now, some people who play the Starfleet universe, they stick, you know, very specifically to the TV empires or to very certain time periods mm-hmm. of play. And that's entirely up to them. But I mean, other people get into the universe because they want the stuff that's, you know, new and different. And so I guess it's good to try to have a measured approach in terms of the pluses and minuses of jumping into this universe rather than another one.
Understood. Yeah, definitely. I think you got a point there, which is basically take the Apple approach. I say it that way because of, if you've ever listened to an Apple presentation, they will never, ever, ever say anything that is negative, at least about their products. They will never say anything negative. Like, oh, since you did this, this is no law. You can't have this anymore. They'll never, ever, ever tell you that. You know, people will find out that, oh, you know, because you upgraded to the latest version of the operating system, the latest Mac. Oh, like say, you upgraded to like your M1 Mac. You no longer can play. No longer can use your version of Windows that you're used to using. You know, things like that. They'll never mention anything like that. They'll focus completely on the positives. You know, this is what we're giving you. You know, so I think it's definitely it's a good approach to use. So anyhow, with that, I think we will tie it up for this evening. What, Doug? Is there something you wanted to say?
Yes, actually, there was something. Little update on Gamer Stub, if you wanted it.
Yes, why don't you give a Gamer Stub before we call it a night?
Yeah, I did throw a small survey on our thread on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
There is some interest in Gamers of Summer, but I'm thinking of doing another GoFundMe, basically about and seeing if we get enough interest that way to actually back Gamers of Summer. So that is a possibility. It would be in the Harrisburg area still.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there there's SFB and FedCon players that want to come out for it, oh, please come to the Gamers of South Central PA game convention thread on Facebook and say hi and join the group. Oh, there you go. Just thought I'd throw that out there for you.
Mm-hmm.
The place that we were at this winter, now the guy who was running the place mentioned this during the convention, but we didn't talk about it in great detail. But they're losing their lease.
Mm-hmm.
Or they couldn't come to an amicable agreement on another lease. So we're not going to be going back there this summer, unfortunately, because they won't be there. They'll be working out of a different venue doing different stuff.
Right.
So we will be somewhere else. I have leads on other places. The other thing with that is that that venue is selling off a large portion of their game inventory before they make their move. So February 25th, 2 p.m. at Your Turn Cafe on Route 22 near Harrisburg, they're going to be having a big sell-off of, like I said, the board games in their library. And some of them are unpunched, some of them are unopened, some of them are still, you know, plastic, and some of them are somewhat used, shall we say. But it'll be a cash-only day of sale. He mentioned something about having his library listed on Board Game Geek, but I didn't find it in a two-minute search. I'll look for it later.
Mm-hmm.
But not everything is necessarily going to be for sale. They are taking some other stuff with them.
Right.
So that was basically, I wanted to throw that out there for you.
Okay.
And, of course, if anybody wants to go on to the thread and throw their vote in on the survey, that's fine as well. That's all I got. So,
okay.
There you go.
Cool. Yeah, I put my vote on that. So.
Thank you, Paul.
You're welcome. So, well.
Maybe you should have a vote for if you're going to, because the Fed and Empire guys usually have an event, StratCon. They host in Amarillo, and they're not far from where the ADB offices are. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know. It won't help anyone living in Harrisburg, but I mean, if people in the U.S., who would already go to like a Origins or Gen Con, maybe they could try to, because right now there hasn't really been a non-F&E component of StratCon all that much, but the potential is there. I don't want to speak in the organizer's behalf, of course, but maybe that might be something, because you're already having Starfleet Universe people in the building, so
mm-hmm.
maybe together with some SFE and FedCon people, you know, they could do things that can't be done as it is, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like I said in past talking about the gamers events, the thing is, we are very convenient for a huge portion of the population that lives on the East Coast. I mean, you know, Harrisburg is only 40 odd minutes from Lancaster, where there's a bunch of conventions at. You know, we're closer to New York, New Jersey, Philly than say Columbus, Ohio, so to speak. Yeah, we're within a relatively convenient drive for, you know, anybody in, say, Virginia, Northern Virginia, through the New York corridor. So there you go. And, you know, I would love to have people come out for those particular things.
Yep, yeah, I would too. You know, I'm more than willing to spend the whole weekend just playing Federation Commander or Starfleet Battles or whatever, you know, with whoever would show up, you know.
Yeah, and that goes to a part of why the heart of the prior fundraiser attempt, which was to get a, you know, say a dedicated office space for a month where we could focus on, you know, if the space is large enough, one big mega event and a bunch of smaller events scattered throughout the month. So, you know, where you could come in and say, you know, if we have 20 F&E players that say, I want space, and that would take up a huge amount of space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could do a special weekend just for those guys. You know, I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that was a totally different concept than your typical convention. I was thinking, you know, like a mega convention that goes over multiple weekends, and if your thing is not on a particular weekend, you don't have to come in for it. That's fine.
Right.
I mean, in whenever you want for the thing. So, there you go. Okay, that's all I have now on top of all I had.
Okay. Yes, you can say hello to Kitty.
Can you? My kitty is sleeping.
Kitty, can you just make up your mind? I love you too. Oh, drive me crazy. Okay.
Oh.
Yes. Say hello to everybody. Hello, everybody. I'm the cutest kitty in the entire world.
Little Zin.
Hi. Yeah, but anyway. Doug, it was a pleasure. You have a good night.
Thank you. You too.
Gary, it's always nice to have you around. You take care. So, as you can see, we had a nice little discussion there about what to do about learning about SFB and Federation Commander. You know, a way of doing that using YouTube. That's what, you know, that's the platform I was thinking of doing it. Or it can be other platforms. The kind of idea is just to make a set of videos, you know, to introduce people to the game and introduce them to the rules and things like that. It's short enough that they don't have to spend, you know, multiple hours listening, just sitting there listening on to this person droning on about the rules. You know, they can do it in short little pieces. You know, they can learn about this. You know, as Gary was pointed out, you know, the whole idea of the cadet training manual. You know, they had a set of steps on how to learn different things. Excuse me. My kitty was chewing on me. I think that, you know, it's a great idea. Which, you know, as I said, you know, the short little things, just building up, and that's what I normally do when it comes to my demos that I've done live, which is building up. You know, first, okay, just learn about movement. Don't worry about the SSD at the moment. Just worry about movement, and then worry about you know, how to move the ship. You know, turn modes, things like that, which you need to know about before you can even actually move your ship. You know, how do you count up something simple as how do you count up how much power you have available on your ship and things like that. So, you know, little things, one step at a time. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.